The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lenox, and Stockbridge. Watching us on the PCTV Select app and perhaps on channel 1301 on your cable dial. Sean Sayre here with you this morning, Thursday, May 21st, the third Thursday. And you know what that means here on Morning Drive? We have Mayor Marchetti on the show. Peter Marchetti, the mayor of Pittsfield. Be here for the full hour today talking about everything going on in the city of Pittsfield and surrounding areas. Always a fascinating conversation when Mayor Marchetti shows up, and looking forward to that conversation. First, let's get to our weather forecast. I hear that we're going to have some nice weather, and then Memorial Day weekend comes. So here we go. Here's our weather. Berkshire
weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly cloudy and cooler. Near steady temperature in the lower 50s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday, mostly cloudy. Night is warm with highs in the mid-60s. North wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday night, mostly cloudy in the evening, then clearing. Areas of frost after midnight. Cooler with lows in the mid-30s. North wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
And longer range, I was hearing that, today and tomorrow, nice. Going to get some rain coming in on Saturday into Sunday. Maybe some clearing Sunday night. And then Monday, I'm hearing some showers early in the Memorial Day forecast, and then maybe clearing up later on that day. The Memorial Day parade and ceremony, of course, is rain or shine, and that will be kicking off at 9 a.m. in downtown Pittsfield, headed from the Fenn Street, North Street intersection down to Memorial Park, where there'll be a ceremony. That will be covered, as always, on PCTV channel 1303 CityLink, also on the live and the app and website as well, so you can find it there. But of course, for Memorial Day weekend, come on out and take part in that ceremony, if you will. It's always a very moving event there. All right, Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM. Good morning, Miss Mayor Peter Marchetti. Thanks
good morning.
For being here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I do want to start off the show mentioning what's on the top page of the paper today with Colleen Quinn, art teacher extraordinaire from PHS. We've all, anyone who's been around the PHS community knows who Colleen Quinn is, and sadly she's passed away yesterday after a very brief bout with cancer, and we all just want to mention that how important she was to the PHS community. I know from the PCTV standpoint, we run into her every year at commencement, graduation, and she's always such a wonderful spirit, a lot of energy and a lot of smiles, and I think we can all agree that her passing is a very sad thing, but, let her memory be a blessing.
Yeah, she was just in City Hall a little over a month ago doing Berkshire Jazz Festival poster cover contest, something that she's done for a number of years in connection with Berkshire Jazz. The energy that she has, I was in the school in December of 24, watching her and Lisa Ostellino do their magic in terms of art stuff. And, to the Quinn family, send our condolences. Yeah. Great family. Do a lot for Pittsfield and the Berkshires. And Colleen will be missed.
Yeah. And also shows a kind of a spotlight of how important art is in our schools and how it's easy to sort of forget about that sometimes in the grand scheme of things when we're talking about how, you know, kids go to school and they have to find something that connects with them and keeps them learning. And maybe that's the highlight of their day. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like from reading the article in the Berkshire Eagle today that that was what she specialized in.
She knew how to make connections.
Yeah.
Both in and outside the school.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a person that she's ever met that she didn't make a connection with.
Yeah. So tribute to Colleen Quinn here on the program this morning. Let's move into budget season because here we are. And we have had one budget session already. Seems like that was one of the big ones that happens every year. There's four or five of them scheduled, I think. How many do you have?
I think there's four.
Four.
There was one Tuesday night. There's one this evening.
Mm-hmm.
One next Thursday night. And then I think the first week in June. I don't have them memorized. Mm-hmm. But I know there's one tonight at 6 o'clock. You know, the budget process, I think it's been the same as normal. There's been a little bit more of drilling down as... all the departments, including the school department, put all their requests and numbers in.
Mm-hmm.
The requests and numbers added up to far more revenue than we could possibly achieve. Mm-hmm. And so on the school side, there was much reductions taking place. And on the city side, before the budget was presented to the city council, there's been close to $2 million cut out of the budget that was presented to me. Mm. So
what makes this year particularly a difficult year? Because it sounds like, you know, what I'm hearing is that there wasn't a lot of money to be spent and we're looking at reductions or level service in a lot of areas rather than being able to grant some of those requests to do things that, you know, I think we all want to be able to do in the city. What made this year more difficult?
I think it's twofold. One, on the city side, it's always been difficult. Mm-hmm. If you look at the funding sources for the city, the major one is the raise and appropriate through real estate taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And through the Proposition 2.5 formula, there is a cap that you can use and then you max out. Mm-hmm. So you do your Proposition 2.5. Your 2.5 increase, you mm-hmm. add in your new growth,
mm-hmm.
there's your tax increase. Yeah. That's the maximum amount. So there's that piece. There's our local receipts. I think those are on a rebound post-COVID. And those are everything from our excise tax bills to hotel motel tax revenues, mm-hmm. Meal tax revenues, cannabis revenues,
mm-hmm.
Although only 50% of the cannabis revenues goes into the general operating fund. And then we rely on state aid.
Mm-hmm.
And state aid generally never really increases by more than $350,000. And that's on the city side.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that's the unrestricted aid.
That's the, right? The UGA, the unrestricted
yeah.
Government aid. So when you look at the city side budget, and it's why I kind of pointed out some of the numbers, what's $350,000? On a $142 million budget, what's that percentage?
Yeah, less than a half a percent, maybe.
Cost drivers, mm-hmm. 9% increase in health insurance, 7% increase in debt service, 5% increase in retirement pension funding. Your revenue increase and your expense increase don't keep in line.
Mm-hmm.
Are
some of the costs going up faster than the increases that you're able to see, for example, from the property taxes or the local receipts, things like that? So in other words, the expenses are so to the point where you can't make that up. And then you have the levy limit and the levy ceiling, right? So tell us what the difference is between those two and why they're important to think about.
It's kind of complicated. So your levy limit is take your assessments, multiply by 2.5. There you are.
Mm-hmm.
Your levy ceiling is a little bit more complicated. Your levy ceiling always wants to be higher than your levy limit. And there was a time in Pittsfield where that changed. So, you know, I think the piece that you hit was expenses are rising faster than we can increase revenues based on the sources. And as we look into fiscal year 28, and we have a ballot question that says roll back income tax from 5 to 4%, that's going to have a major impact on the local aid that, that cities and towns get, right. which, if it passes, will force all of us to make some drastic reductions in where we're going. And so there'll be a lot of conversations this summer and fall about the implications of that passing. And sure, the argument of having an extra $700 a year in my pocket sounds great. But what that $700 in my pocket may cost me in terms of city services may not be the best piece. And I think as the conversation takes place and we look at polling, when everyone was told, let's roll it back, everyone's in favor of it. When you start understanding what the ramifications are, then maybe not so much. So we've got to keep an eye on that going forward, because that could even tighten the pot. On the school side, there's a lot of factors that have changed.
Because there's a lot of state aid involved with that also. Right. And we had a conversation, I know, with Rep. Trisha Farley-Bouvier last week on the show, and we talked about some of those difficult calculations that they have at the state level. But, of course, Pittsfield City Schools are funded significantly by state revenue.
They are. And so when you look at all the factors for the school system, the loss of students between fiscal year 26 and 27, and then you take a $5,000 to $7,000 times each student that you lost, there's $500,000 lost there or more, maybe $750,000. And then schools are put into categories based on their wealth. And Pittsfield, for the longest time, had been in Category 10. There's only 12 categories, so that we're really closer to the bottom of the scale. Two, three, 4 years ago, we fell to Category 11. And
which actually meant more money.
Which meant more money, about $3.5 million a year more. This year, we went back to Category 10. So loss of students, so loss of per pupil student aid going up the scale, which is a good thing, except for it's a bad thing because the ramifications of you're losing some of your funding. So on the school side, I think we took a double whammy, a significant decrease in students, and we went from Category 11 to 10.
Yeah. And of course, that has some direct ramifications, as you mentioned, you know, when things like that happen and there's a stark reality in front of you, there are decisions that have to be made. And some of those, as the school committee was deciding on how to deal with that, I think it was a $4+ million shortfall. Some of it initially was, well, we're going to have to, you know, eliminate certain number of positions throughout the district. And then the conversation came up about closing Morningside School, which sounds like it has an impact. It's not the full answer to any of that, right? But it, and it also wasn't the only reason that Morningside School was decided that it would close. But how much of that did that impact the conversation about the budget? Was it able to save some positions?
Well, I think it saved some positions. a lot was happening at the same time. So changing the funding model to like a school-based model to a student-based model, I think had a lot of impacts. What's interesting is we all pretend to act shocked that we're closing an elementary school. Yet, it's been in discussion for close to a decade now. Student enrollment doesn't really say that we still need 8 elementary schools. And so, you know, I think the combinations of, hey, we're doing a student-based budget and look at the needs of Morningside. I think there is, depending upon who you speak with, because I had a conversation with someone yesterday who sort of disagreed. Open classrooms were a thing in the 1970s. By the 1980s, most people said, whoa, this was a huge mistake. Let's close them up.
Yeah.
But 50 years later, Pittsfield's still using their two open classrooms. Right. And, you know, what I took away from my conversation yesterday is you can't just say that it's bad for everybody. there are students that will excel in an open classroom environment, mm-hmm. but there are many students that will not excel and will actually retract in that kind of an environment. And so
it's also not an even playing field with the rest of the schools in the Pittsfield, right? And that's the other problem, is that you have 8 elementary schools, some of which have different facilities, better facilities, you could say. And so you're still dealing with sort of the consequences of the build quality of these schools from 50 years ago, which I can understand 25 years ago, 30 years ago, looking at that and saying, well, those are our newer schools, so we're not going to, you know, just eliminate those now. We put an investment in, we have to use them. But 50 years in, it seems like you can have that conversation, especially, again, when your enrollment is declining and now we're reorganizing the middle school so that you have one less grade in every elementary school. Maybe this was the, you know, opportune time to do it, as much as it causes some distress among families from Morningside. You're a Morningside alum as well. I'm sure you had some mixed feelings about the decision.
Well, but I also think that, again, we've been discussing closing a school for a decade. No matter what school you picked, it's somewhat the same scenarios.
I don't
want to peg every school of being exactly the same, because the enrollments are different. The models are different. But if you say it was Williams, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to close Williams. I think there's folks at the table saying, yes, it's a good idea, and no, it's a really bad idea. You probably hear a little bit of a different argument than you heard from Morningside, or you would from Egremont, or you would from Stearns. But you're going to get some pushback when you're closing that local elementary school. And, you know, it's interesting because if we go back to when we were kids, true neighborhood schools, most of us walked.
Yeah.
There wasn't a car line 200 cars deep to pick up, you know, the students.
Right.
And so
very different alignment of the way things worked.
Right. Mm-hmm. Times have changed.
Yeah.
And so it's time to engage in that conversation. And I think as we move forward and we engage in conversations about drawing new boundaries for elementary schools, and as we do the Crosby County project, and as we work to ensure that all of the Morningside students that are being placed in a different school are being supported and get what they want, we have to ask the honest conversations. At that point in time, we'll have 7 elementary schools. Is that good? Or is 6 the answer? And we're actually moving towards 6 with the build of Conte Crosby. And then look at the numbers. Mm-hmm. Is it 6 or is it 5? Right. And we all say, don't raise my taxes. Geez, do better. I mean, that's my favorite phrase when I get from people. Just do better. You get an email that says, just do better.
It's very unspecific.
Well, but what does do better mean?
Right.
Right. And then when you begin to think about things, you know, I was at the senior center yesterday and someone said to me, well, do you see Pittsfield getting better? I see Pittsfield is getting better. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, he goes, we need jobs. You haven't brought any jobs. And I was like, okay, how about Jane America's Inc. that is moving into Dan Fox Drive at the old Conte Archive building? 30 employees to start, 100 employees possible after 3 years. How about the tech hub and Marius Optics and 55 jobs at 110,000? But you're now into the chicken and the egg game. What do you need first, housing or jobs? Jobs or housing? What comes first? Well, if you don't have a place to house the people that we have jobs, and we hear every day from some of our major employers, we need more housing.
It's kind of a complex web of things, right? When you're trying to attract, and we're going to talk about the William Stanley Business Park and PETA and other things like that a little later in the show. But if you're a prospective employer and you're looking at Pittsfield, I'm sure you're looking at the whole picture, right? Mm-hmm. You're not just looking at a property or where you could put your business. You're talking about how good are the schools? Where would my kids go to school? Where would my employees live? What's there to do, you know, in Pittsfield? What's the outdoor recreation? What's the social scene? Can I go to a restaurant? Can I go out to, you know, socialize? Those are all things I'm sure that they're looking at when they're coming in.
Yeah. And I mean, I had lunch the other day at Patrick's, and I just sat at the bar, had a sandwich and left. And the bartender has been in Pittsfield for 4 years, and he moved here from Arizona, and he's like, Pittsfield's great. I'm like, okay, tell me more. Tell me why, right? And then I played the game. What do we need to be doing differently? Mm-hmm. Like, we talked nightlife. What does that mean? Depends on who you talk to, right?
Sure.
The bar scene may not be the scene for the next generation. They may be looking for something different, and don't make that assumption that, oh, well, we all need a dance club because that's, right, you know, that's what we did in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not the 80s anymore. and so, you know, I think that that's the hardest part, is that in order for Pittsfield to be better, if that's the phrase we want to use, let's define that. Mm-hmm. And if that is, we replicate the 1960s, 70s, or 80s, I think we're setting ourselves up for failure, mm-hmm, because those times don't fit, mm-hmm, anymore. And so how do you create the new 60s, 70s, and 80s? And I think, you know, between housing and the economic development plans that we've been doing, we're making progress in bringing jobs and building housing. For me, you know, 16 years on the council, never really got elbows deep into housing development and really what needs to take place. And
A lot of times you don't think of that as being, you know, a job for a city council or something, to have the vision for what housing looks like in the community. But obviously it came up as a major priority for the community. It was a crisis, and still is. It remains a crisis for a lot of people. The affordability of housing, the availability of housing, mm-hmm, the quality of the housing stock, all of those things have come up. And of course, all connected in with the issue of homelessness and everything that the community has dealt with in the last few years, right? It's all interconnected.
Right, right. And if you don't understand the complication to financing a housing project, when you just start out by thinking, okay, I'm going to build a 30-unit complex. Okay. Well, sure, that'll just cost a couple $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's $450,000 or more per unit. So do the quick math.
Yeah.
450 times 30.
Mm-hmm.
Let's round up. Let's do a $500,000 times 30, right? We're talking about $15 million,
yeah,
to build 30 units.
Yeah.
And now how do I pay for that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Between private investment.
If you're a developer. So it's got to make sense on the books. It's got to somehow, you know, not only do what is needed in the community, but it also has to be worthwhile. You can't take a loss on the building.
Right.
So yeah, you look for these ways to make the difference up.
And, you know, again, it's perspective. When we were beginning the conversations that Terrace 592 was opening,
mm-hmm,
and we started saying rents, people are like, are you out of your mind? That's not affordable. I go off to a monthly mayor's meeting and say, hey, can you tell me what your like affordable housing rates are like? Because we just opened a new one in Pittsfield, and we're looking at rents between $1,100 and $1,300 per month. And they're like, are you kidding me? Mm. That's like dirt cheap. Mm-hmm. We're looking at $2,400. Well, you know, folks don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
And
of course, the employment scene is different in some of the other areas of the state.
Well, it
as
is,
well.
But if you're talking, like, I'll never compare Pittsfield to Boston, mm-hmm, right? Not even close.
Right.
But if you want to compare Pittsfield to Westfield, Pittsfield, mm-hmm, to Holyoke, Pittsfield, mm-hmm, to Northampton,
yep,
Pittsfield to Fitchburg,
mm,
right? These areas are seeing much more expenses in housing than we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think Fitchburg and us are pretty similar. Mm. Westfield, from a population standpoint, we're like almost spot on.
Mm.
And so those are the pieces when we're having the conversations, and it's easy to just be like, no, it's way too much, but you got to understand the entire piece. And like, I don't understand why construction is that much. And that's the piece that we need to continue to fight for in Boston, is that it costs the same to build in Pittsfield as it does in Boston. But the economies of Pittsfield and Boston are two different scales, and we can't afford to pay what Boston pays for housing or for living experiences, right, because we don't make the same salaries in Western Mass than they do in Boston.
And the return wouldn't be as good on that investment, right?
And then you don't have the investment, right?
Never materialize.
We all say we need more housing, but if I'm going to be a developer and I'm going to put in three different housing things and I go bankrupt, there's no more housing.
Yeah.
And so those are kind of the pieces of the puzzle that we have to look at behind the scenes. And sure, they're tough conversations to have, but we have to be looking at the big picture and not just one piece.
Yeah. Mayor Peter Marchetti, my guest here on the show this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you. And got about 5 minutes before we take our top of the hour break. And we're kind of talking, since we're on housing right now, and let's sort of weave that into the vision for downtown. Because it's sort of the changing face of downtown business district, I guess I would say. And the two things I point to are the sort of anchors of each end, one being the old Berkshire Bank building, Berkshire County Savings Bank building, which is being converted into housing. And the other end of the street is just off of North Street on Maplewood, the old St. Joe School, which recently has been announced that David Carver and his group are going to be working on making that housing as well. So we're hearing a lot more of housing projects, maybe good answer, the kinds of things we were talking about before of how the need is there for more housing units and better quality housing units. But then that also tells us that maybe downtown Pittsfield won't be the sort of shopping district and entertainment district that people still have in their minds again from the 50s and 60s when they see those old black and white pictures of people walking up and down there, all the crowds and stuff. And, you know, it's easy to make comments on social media. But what will downtown North Street look like in the future?
So I actually think the housing strengthens the commercial first floor because it adds to foot traffic.
Okay.
And so I think the more folks that we have living downtown, walking downtown, you know, again, when 20 years ago we started talking about the Howard building and the Enoda building,
right,
I was like, who in their right mind wants to live downtown, all the noise, on the fifth floor apartment, yada, yada, yada. And every time we've had one of those developments, they're leased before the construction is built.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's a Pittsfield thing because, you know, every other city has developments like that and have people living downtown, and the noise and the bustle doesn't bother them whatsoever. In fact, they enjoy it. That's part of it.
Where do you park? Right. Oh, I have to walk from the parking garage to my place.
Yeah.
When we grew up, nah. We wouldn't do that. This generation is embracing that. You know, they're asking for more walkability. They're asking for those things. So I think the housing will help stabilize the downtown. The bigger push is ensuring that our vacancies are filled. And
that's the storefronts, you mean?
Yeah, the storefronts. And
there's a project right now underway, right, which provides some state tax credits to fill those vacant storefronts?
There's and this is the piece where, you know, I think the city has been really proactive in working on, but when it's a housing project type, especially downtown, you have your HDIP funding. Now you have your commercial office space conversion. You have the vacant storefront piece. You have a number of state funding sources that you can stack on top of each other to find that desirable point where a project can come forward.
Yeah, the equation makes sense.
And, you know, if you talk to some of the state folks around HDIP, they will tell you that Pittsfield has figured it out and they know how to work with developers and make that happen. And so you have to know how to use the resources that are there for you. You know, I also think that during COVID, every North Street merchant that was there struggled to stay there. Mm. And not every one of them survived.
Yeah.
Not a Pittsfield thing. I think it happened
right
nationwide.
But not to mention that people shop differently today. You know, the experience of going shopping or walking around and visiting storefronts is very different. I won't say it's gone because I think still people enjoy doing that. But it's different.
Yeah. And, you know, when, if you want to talk about having a night in downtown, you should explore what downtown has to offer because the dining experience, I think we've talked about that before on the show.
Yeah.
Probably close to 24 restaurants. If we talk from the Holiday Inn to the Lantern,
mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to start naming them because I'll leave them out. But then you've got the Colonial Theater and Barrington Stage and the Beacon Cinema. A lot of the downtown establishments are now doing music. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe a solo guitarist to a 3-piece band.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an opportunity to spend a night in downtown and enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Mayor Peter Marchetti, my guest here this morning. We are going to take that top of the hour break and return right after this with more conversation about things going on in Pittsfield, talking about construction and senior tax work-off program. I want to find out more about that. We'll be right back after this on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield Community Radio. Here we go.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM. You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
Still paying for that monthly gym membership? How about that streaming service you never watch? Why not support WTBR-FM instead? For just $8.97 a month, you can show your support for our community radio station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click donate. It's as easy as that. We need to support this station to keep it on the air, and every little bit helps. WTBR-FM, for the love of radio.
Ready to roll up your sleeves and make a real difference? Join us at Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity and help build affordable homes right here in our community. Whether you're a seasoned builder or just eager to learn, you'll grow your skills while giving families a foundation for the future. Come build with us. Contact Mike Arnold at 413-741-0233 or email him at planner@berkshirehabitat.org today.
Hi, it's Jen Glockner. I'm the director of the Office of Cultural Development for the wonderful city of Pittsfield, and I also host the Cultural Pittsfield radio show on WTBR. It airs every Friday at 8:30 in the morning. Stay tuned to learn all about the arts and culture scene for the city of Pittsfield and beyond. We hope you listen in every Friday at 8:30 on 89.7 FM WTBR.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sandrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, Morning Drive returns here on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you on the 21st of May. And you might also be listening to us on WSBR 88.1 in Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge on the PCTV Select app, available on your favorite streaming device, and, of course, on 1301 Access Pittsfield on cable. We appreciate you coming and listening to the show every day. We have Mayor Peter Marchetti here this morning. Going to finish up with him in just a moment. First, let's get to our weather forecast and see what we have on tap for us today.
Berkshire weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly cloudy and cooler. Near steady temperature in the lower 50s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday, mostly cloudy. Night is warm with highs in the mid-60s. North wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday night, mostly cloudy in the evening, then clearing. Areas of frost after midnight. Cooler with lows in the mid-30s. North wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it. And we are going to see some inclement weather for the morning, for the Memorial Day weekend, starting on Saturday, from what I understand, Saturday and Sunday, a little rainy, Monday morning perhaps also. But it doesn't sound like it's going to be a complete washout. We're going to have some breaks of sun in there in between. So it's not like it's going to be a terrible weekend. But, you know, we will have a couple of nice days here. And then immediately following Memorial Day, it's going to get very nice. What are you going to do? I don't write the weather. All right. Morning Drive here returns on Pittsfield Community Radio. Again, Mayor Marchetti, thanks for joining me here this morning.
Great to be here. And you can blame me for the weather. I don't know.
And we do have that Memorial Day parade and ceremony happening on Monday morning, 9 a.m. kickoff. And you can watch that on PCTV Channel 1303 and also on the PCTV Select app. Do want to make a note that the Morningside School, there will be a hearing, public hearing there on Tuesday, the day after Memorial Day at 5 p.m. at the school. Where people can come and get more information on, or maybe give input on, the redistricting, right, of that school as it's being closed. And I'm sure a lot of parents are a little anxious about that, depending on where you're living currently now. You get some input as to where you might head, whether it's going to be Capeless, Allendale, Williams, or Egremont School. Those are the four schools where the students currently at Morningside will be going, unless, of course, you're a fourth grader right now, which means you'll be going to Herberg. Yeah.
Right.
So that one you'll know for sure. And there's another whole big thing going on in Pittsfield, a major change up in the way things are done. So looking forward to how that works out. It's a complicated machine, lots of moving parts there, including transportation and, of course, all the districting stuff that mm-hmm. we were talking about. Past that, let's talk about a couple other things going on in the city. I just wanted to mention about the BRTA, because that's been on people's minds recently. I know that Pittsfield has a representative that you send to the BRTA meetings, and that's you.
That's me.
Right? Yeah. And as the largest community that the BRTA services, Pittsfield does have a kind of an outsized effect as to what happens at those meetings. There's been a little bit of turmoil, I guess, there in terms of, A, they don't have enough employees to run the routes that they had, so they were going to reduce some of the routes over the course of the winter. That didn't land very well. A lot of people didn't like the idea of that, so they restored some of the routes, right? They're trying like heck to get more employees trained up and to get them driving. And now, recently, there was a vote of no confidence that went to the board. Can you give us lend some light to this process? What's going on at the BRTA?
Well, so the difficult part is, I would have to say that the vote of no confidence went to selected members of the board, because when I showed up at the April board meeting, I had no idea what folks were talking about. So, I got a copy of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't had conversations with really anybody in regards to it. You know, my take is we're having growing pains / transition pains
mm-hmm.
as we transition from one executive director to another. I mean, the root of the problem is there's many cancellations on a regular basis. So therefore, it's not supplying reliable transportation for those that can't.
If there's one thing that you want from a bus service, it's
is it to show up when you want to take it, right? And so, you know, I think that's a problem. And so I think the administration went to work to try to find ways to solve a problem. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure whether or not their solution would have solved the problem. Mm. For me, where it became an issue is, I'm the mayor of Pittsfield. I get a vote. It doesn't really impact the city routes.
Mm. Because basically everything runs through Pittsfield.
But it does have issues with folks commuting to North and South County.
Yeah.
And so we may have residents that use the bus to either get to medical appointments or to work in North and South County. And I think the process, and I had suggested it, could have been a little bit better, where the administrator came and spoke and gave an update to the Pittsfield City Council. Didn't happen in North County, didn't happen in South County. It happened after the vote. And so it was an interesting dynamic because the votes are weighted based on your community's size.
Yeah.
And so like 1/5 of the vote, weighted vote, is Pittsfield.
Okay.
And when you're looking at a quorum of 38%, and you're 21% of that quorum, and folks don't show up at a meeting, but you have a quorum. If you have a quorum of 40, and the city controls 21% of the vote, only one person has to vote yes, and everyone could vote no, and you're still on the positive side of making things happen. And so for me, I was like, whoa. We need to take a time out, and we need to table this. And we need to do some more outreach with both.
This was changing the routes.
Changing the routes and doing some more conversation both with North and South County. And, you know, for me, there's something that I want to build upon, right? When we talk homeless problem, when we talk job creation, when we talk housing, it's not a Pittsfield problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Berkshire County problem. It's a state problem. And so where are we as a county? I don't want to recreate county government, but where are we working with each other to say, these are the things that we need? And so, you know, Mayor Maxey and I meet on a monthly basis to kind of talk about the things where can we partner and how can we do this? Mm-hmm. And my dream would be to have all 32 of us, the two mayors and the 30 town managers, administrators, really advocating for the same thing and talking to our state delegation, asking for the same thing. Mm-hmm. And having a really loud voice of saying this is what our needs and priorities are. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see later today when I'm at the monthly BRT advisory meeting to see where this and how this is shaping out.
Yeah. Where do the solutions lie for this? Just bringing in more drivers and making sure that level is there so that the routes can be run?
So I think it's twofold. One, I think it's we need more drivers. Mm-hmm. But two, I like I said, transition pains. I think the communication needs to improve, needs to expand, and I think it's solvable.
Mm-hmm. And then let's move on, since we're on transportation, to construction projects in Pittsfield. And one route that I'm sure you travel frequently is West Street. That is going through some transition right now with a new traffic light that is in the 30-day phase of blinking, right? Mm-hmm. It'll be blinking for 30 days and then going into full use. That's at the corner, as we say, of West and West, which is always the funny thing to say. And I think there is an East and East, too, isn't there, somewhere in Pittsfield? Isn't that at
probably where Merrill,
Road? Yeah, there's an East and East and a West and West. I gotta love it. But that one in West Street certainly is there to address some major concerns that have been there for a number of years. And so there's also some traffic calming measures going in, which are getting some comments on social media. Give us an overview of what's happening there.
Well, the project, thank God, is almost over. I believe on next Tuesday and Wednesday we'll pave. You know, I think we need to hold our judgment until the construction is done. You know, I travel the road every day.
Yep.
I was a little shocked the first morning when I hit the first raised crosswalk.
That's always the shock when you hit one that you don't expect to be there.
Right? And, you know, immediately was texting Commissioner Morales saying, whoa. But we haven't done all the resurfacing. Mm-hmm. So right now, I think it's a lot worse than what it will be when it's paved, and I've been assured of that. I know when we talk about Merriam Street and West, mm-hmm. that bump out.
Yeah. It's a little hard to make that corner.
Well, I don't know about that, right? I mean,
I haven't popped my tire on it yet, but I come close.
Well, I mean, almost every intersection that you approach is almost a 90-degree turn,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't find that one on Merriam Street anywhere near as bad as the one on Linda and Noda.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think we need to wait for it to be done, the lines to be painted, everyone to kind of really see. I mean, right now it's a free-for-all with all the raised structures, trying to avoid hitting them and getting through. It's an obstacle right. course every single day.
The lines aren't painted and things like
right.
that.
Right, there's no lines yeah. painted.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's almost done. We're finishing up the road work for fiscal year 26. I just drove over the nicely paved East Street. That is a temporary fix.
Yep, I was going to mention that.
For a longer problem.
That's one that we hit a lot here at PCTV going to City Hall.
Yep.
Boy, that was a battlefield for a long time, so it's nice to at least see that temporarily taken care of. Right. Of course, that'll be short-lived because there's going to be a lot of construction on that project.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
But we solved the problem for the short term.
Yeah.
When the construction starts again, it's that same obstacle course that you go through any place. And then
ultimately, that'll be a big improvement for that corridor, though.
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely. And so roadwork for fiscal year 27 hasn't come out yet. It will not be as much as has been in previous years. But there'll be some.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll get back on it for fiscal year 28.
Is that budget related, where there won't be as much construction in the coming year? Related to our earlier conversation?
Somewhat.
Yeah.
Because the philosophy in years past was always to add whatever amount of roads we were doing to our capital authorizations mm-hmm. that we do at budget time, which there are none, either operating or enterprise at the moment.
Mm.
And that is based on the caution that we had been provided by our auditor. That, you know, it's not that you can't borrow,
mm-hmm.
but recognize the more that you borrow, the larger your debt service is. Your debt service is part of your operating budget. So the larger that comes, your operating budget has to shrink.
Mm. And then it becomes harder to borrow, or you get worse rates, right?
Right.
When your credit rating drops.
Let's look at all that. Mm. So we're really taking a deeper dive in the capital improvement plan, and we'll bring some stuff forward. Over the last couple of years, we've been utilizing free cash to appropriate for roads.
Mm-hmm.
As we are closing out this year and we are looking at the budget, I don't think that our 26 budget is going to spin off as much free cash as has in previous years. And then I definitely know that the budget that we just presented for fiscal year 27 will not spin off what we used to get in past years. And so I want to get through the end of this fiscal year to see all the numbers solidly played out rather than our estimations and trying to figure it out. You'll see at the next council meeting a free cash appropriation to help cover some insurance costs that were higher than we budgeted.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting that end of year process where we're robbing Peter to pay Paul and either
transferring between departments.
Or between expense line item and salary line item, which is a city council vote as well, something that we changed the first year of my budget.
Sometimes you don't know how those things are going to look until you get near the end of the year, right?
Correct.
And you start to see where those lines are. Well, and of course, the free cash is another whole thing where, you know, you get that and you say, okay, what do we do with that? And there's a big pull a lot of times among councilors to say, well, we should use that free cash to reduce the tax rate. So we're making the budget now in June, it gets passed, and then the tax rate gets set in November or December, somewhere in that range, and that is what determines what people are going to pay in their tax bills. But that calculation, right, of free cash, right, sometimes is applied to that, sometimes it's applied to things like capital improvements, or I think you just mentioned an insurance line item.
Right, to cover.
Right, but if you don't have that free cash number, you don't have those many options, right? You just don't.
Right.
It's like spending cash in your pocket. You just don't have it, you're not going out for a drink.
Right, and I think that that's one of the things that we need to look at. And, you know, in an ideal world, we would be able to budget every department to the penny. We wouldn't have to worry about turnbacks. But it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that in our own homes, right? You have your monthly budget. How many times does something come awry in your monthly budget at home that was, okay, I gotta modify what I'm doing, right? I either need to spend more, which maybe needs I need to charge it. Maybe it needs I hit the savings account. Maybe it, right? Or you have to give something else up. And, and government, it's somewhat the same way. I think the dilemma that I run into is that you're not always making the right decision of what you're giving up in the eyes of the people who are evaluating what you're doing. And so you're never going to be in the sweet spot that everybody firmly agrees with what you're doing.
And that's one thing you can guarantee is that no one will agree and not everyone will agree on everything.
Correct.
You know, you do have opportunities, though, like the solid waste disposal and recycling that went through. And that was a proactive measure where you could say, OK, we can see that these costs are just going to keep going up, up, up unless we do something now. And that's something that you can change at that moment, which is a hard thing. It was a hard thing for people to get into. But I think people have adjusted to it now and has been a successful program. Has that saved us money going forward? Is that something that you think about?
Well, and that's the interesting piece, because the commission and I had that conversation of, like, we showed the savings year one, right? It saved $700,000. And that year we were able to keep the Department of Public Works budget without increasing in a dollar amount. Now it's hard to show, right?
But it's hard to prove a counterfactual. So if you hadn't done that, where would we be?
Well, so if we take the new rate, because every year there's a increase in the rate, times the old average of what we collected in terms of tonnage, we're still at a $750 to $1 million savings.
Yeah.
Right? But we're not using that anymore. So that savings concept. But if we hadn't done toters, we'd be paying $750,000 a year more in trash, which was the argument back then that this is a runaway train.
But I'm sure there are other things in government that you look at all the time and say, okay, if we do something now or in the next year or something going forward, that will save us money. Maybe it's renting buildings or things like that.
There's another piece, right? On the city side, we're renting 100 North. We have two vacant city buildings. Both are in the midst of being renovated that can host those departments.
Right. And of course, we'll have Morningside School coming online for
Morningside
something
school
else.
Could be something.
That'll be a bigger discussion, I assume.
Yes. And we've already made a commitment that there's some form of community space that will stay there. The question is, what does that look like? How do people access it? But you have, like, on the school side, the bus operations is leased space. The adult learning center is leased space.
Right.
The Crosby Academy is leased space.
Eagle Academy.
I think, yeah, the Eagle Academy, not Crosby Academy. Sorry, thank you. Add that up. That's probably $500,000, mm-hmm. right? That could be going to something else if we use the space.
Right.
You know, we've said before, do we need all the schools that we have? I was at the senior center yesterday, and someone said, why talk about doing PHS? Why not just one school? That might be an option. You know, unpopular conversations.
Yeah.
We have X number of fire stations. Is that a need or is it a want? You know,
so it's a constant reevaluation, basically. Yeah. It always has to happen.
I mean, I think it's a need because if you start messing with how far away the fire station is, I think you start messing with people's homeowners insurance rates.
Yes, sure.
Right? And so am I going to save a quick buck, but cost people more? Is it really worth it? You know, we did a salary study that we continue to talk about where, quite frankly, we are severely underpaying some positions or many positions in the city in comparison to other cities in the Commonwealth. How do you pay folks the proper wages? Because if you don't, okay.
You lose them.
Yeah, they go to the next community that pays more money. And then when you have those vacancies, someone's got to do the job, right? Yeah. So
it also costs a lot of money to bring new people on
because of
the training and everything else that goes into it.
Like, let's just talk about a plumber. If the city doesn't have their plumbers, we're calling in a plumbing company, paying the same rates that other folks are paying,
right?
Which is a lot different than paying our staff.
Yep.
And so, as we look at those, at that data and those numbers, we need to be prepared to kind of solve a problem, but then create another one.
Yeah.
Because how do you pay for it?
Right. Mayor Peter Marchetti, my guest here on the morning program today. I'm Sean Sayre here, and we've got only a couple minutes left. It goes by so fast when you come on because there's always so much to talk about and always something going on here in the city. I didn't notice that the city put out a press release about the senior tax write-off program. Tell us about that.
So the senior tax write-off program is a, I probably won't use the proper terminology, but an ability for seniors to abate some dollars off of on their real estate taxes. The maximum is $2,000 that they can do work for the city and have the taxes reduced. Applications are due May 31st, I think.
So coming up next week.
Yeah, next week. I think we had 7 or 8 openings. We've had one application. So we brought them to the senior center yesterday. We're talking about them.
What kind of jobs are the seniors doing to work off some of their taxes?
I know that one helped out in I think accounting. They're not manual or physical jobs.
Right.
They're kind of administrative assistant type jobs. And it's income based qualified. So you need to meet the income guides of 41D exception, but add 5,000 to that salary. But I would say anyone interested, call the City of Pittsfield's assessor's office to get more information, or the application is on pittsfieldma.gov.
That's the best way. Go right to the website, pittsfieldma.gov, and you'll find details there. There's a limit to amount that you can get abated off of your taxes, but certainly a worthwhile program and keeps seniors active and involved. And so it's a win-win, I'm sure, for the city as well. Something that doesn't get talked about a lot, but, you know, we got to get the word out there. Well, Mayor Marchetti, believe it or not, we are almost out of time here.
Well, I don't think we got to your 12 items on your list.
I'm sure I didn't, but we got to a lot of important stuff, and we appreciate you coming in and talking about it.
Happy
sometimes we can't get the stuff out in a little sound bite or on a city council meeting or something like that, so this gives us a chance to really delve into some of these issues. So we say happy Memorial Day to everybody, and of course, Morning Drive will be back again tomorrow, so we'll have more time to talk then, but We want to make sure that people know about the Memorial Day parade happening 9 o'clock on Monday, and of course that important morning side school. See, I've got Memorial Day, morning side school. I'm missing two up. The hearing happening on Tuesday at 5 p.m. at the school to discuss the redistricting there. All right, that's it, everybody. Morning Drive is returning again tomorrow morning for another live show, and we will see you there. Thanks again, Mayor Marchetti.
Thank you.
All right, take care, everybody. We'll